cold as last week.
Yeah.
Good. Last week I talked about the Four Noble Truths and how they fit into our lives, into our lives. So this week is going to be a continuation of that, and then going a little bit further with the idea of Zazen, which is what I realized when I walked away last week and was kind of thinking about what I had said. I thought, I didn't emphasize Zazen, and that's really what, that's kind of the base of everything. So the Four Noble Truths, again, whether we're Buddhist or not, whether we proclaim ourselves Buddhist, or whether we're just regular people, you know, or Christians, or Jewish, or whatever, the Four Noble Truths really are something that we all experience. The first is that there is suffering. And suffering is sometimes referred to as dissatisfaction, ill content, a restlessness, don't like something. And that there is a cause of suffering, it's the second one. And that cause of suffering is, it can be labeled different things. Attachment is one word. It's like, I want this to be not this way, I want it to be a different way. I want to have more money, or I want to have more time for Zazen, or I want to have more, something. Not satisfied with what is, and always looking outside of ourselves. Sometimes it's called ignorance, and sometimes it's referred to as greed. So there's a variety of words, but basically it says that there is a reason that we suffer. Then the third noble path, or noble truth, is that there is a there can be an end to suffering. And I kind of see that as part of the process of acceptance, that we begin to accept what we have, what we see, what we experience, rather than what we don't have, and kind of always looking out for something else, or trying to avoid the pain, the discomfort of I don't have it, so therefore we kind of dull our own senses with video games, or with work sometimes, drugs, alcohol, busyness in general, that can become a way of covering up the fact that we're not quite satisfied, or that we're unhappy. Unfortunately, I think in this society, the Western society, too often we think that especially work, or producing something, or achieving something, is something that we need to do. And that, yes, it's important, and yet we oftentimes, I think, cover it up because we think, if I don't work, if I don't get the money, if I don't get the promotion, if I don't have the time, blah, 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 then I won't be happy. And so we kind of delude ourselves into thinking that in a way that's really not very healthy for us. And then the fourth noble truth is that there's the Eightfold Path. And again, I'm not going to go into that right now. So what I realized last week was that Zazen, our practice of Zazen, you know, which is our practice, it's not everyone's practice, but it's our practice, is really what helps us have that quiet time, have that not thinking about something, that we don't have to solve a problem. The woman that I quoted last week says, "Are you willing to stop, really stop, for just this breath? Can you be present? What happens when you do that, and does your suffering shift?" So she's really commenting on stopping, on Zazen, on being quiet, and being aware of what's happening in the right now, of this breath, of this tatami mat, of this, whatever it is that we put our that our focus falls to, this is it. I think I've mentioned before this experience that I had when I was a therapist of sitting with a client, and it wasn't somebody that I was particularly close to or fond of, you know, but I mean, we had a good relationship, and I asked her, if we only had 10 seconds, what would happen? And there was this enormous and really palpable sense of connection in the room, you know, because that's all we had. We weren't going to be able to go out and do anything else. We just had her and I in the room, and it was really, and we both felt it. It was powerful, and it was just by saying, "This is it. This." Anyway, so. Reb Anderson, who is a Soto priest who resides at Green Gulch, he's married and has adult children. I think he's probably in his 70s or 80s now. He wrote a book called Being Upright, and in it he talks about, he refers to being upright as the renouncing, I'm going to read it and then we'll talk about it. The practice of being upright is renouncing the ability to imagine some alternative to what is happening right now. So it's another longer way of saying, you know, right now. And he goes on to say, wishing for alternatives to what is presently occurring leads to discontent and complaining, which is a form of greed. By giving up wishing for alternatives, we inevitably move straight ahead on the path of freedom. And so to go to the very beginning, when I first read this, I mean, for some reason it struck me, and it also like, you know, that's too many words. But in looking at the words and breaking the sentence down, he says, is to renounce the ability. So renounce means to give it up, to say, you know, I don't want it. And he's not saying renounce the image of what I'd rather have, you know. It's not like, oh, I'd rather have John, my son, healthy, you know, but it's to renounce the ability to think about that. And this morning as I was walking out the door, I thought, oh, shit, that, I don't think I like that, giving up my ability to set something aside, because it's like, that's what makes me human, is to make that choice. And yet if I choose to not choose, you know, to trust, to enter the flow, to be with what is right now, isn't that pretty darn good? But you know, my internal reaction was, no, I don't want to do that. And it means I want to have more control. I want to say I like something or I dislike something, or this is something's good or something's bad. But whatever it is, it just is right now. So to imagine some alternative to what is happening right now, you know, that it would be warmer in here, or that Reverend Ito would be here, or that there'd be more people here, or, you know, this is what we have right now, this. And if we could only really see it. And that's the freedom, I think. Intellectually, I can begin to understand it, that if I renounce the ability to imagine something different, then I will be free. And yet, if I really accept what is, then I don't have any conflict. It's just going to go the way it is. So freedom really is the result, the outcome of our practice, if we really can get into it. And sometimes we can get into it for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, maybe even longer, but oftentimes it's here and then it's gone. So we want to accept that, and we want to say that's just where we are, that's how we are, that's and okay, that's just who I am right now. Because if we start saying I should be somebody different, I should be able to sit longer or understand more or speak better or whatever it might be, we've not accepted what is right now. So one of my sons, he's very good about saying, it is what it is. I think maybe that's a common phrase among younger people. It is what it is, you know. And that's absolutely true. And it's also true that my non-acceptance of what it is what it is too sometimes. So we have to go a little bit further than just trying to tough our way through and say, this is the way it is and can't do anything differently. There's a story about Shunryu Suzuki, who's the priest, the Roshi that founded San Francisco Zen Center. And apparently he was, I think he was at Tassajara, and they have a pool there, a pond. And he recounts the story that he saw a bunch of pretty girls on the other side of the pool, and he wanted to be over there. They were laughing and having a good time. And so he started to cross the pool and then realized he didn't know how to swim, and the pool was deep, and he was sinking, you know, and he realized that he was, you know, all agitated and was trying to, you know, save himself or hoping that somebody else would come along and save him. And he realized that he wasn't accepting what was going on at that particular moment. And his answer to himself was, I need to do more Zazen. You know? So it's like if he's drowning and he's not able to save himself and nobody else is saving himself, then he's drowning. And he needs to do more Zazen to just go with that and sink to the bottom. So anyway, there's something about that story that's kind of brings up that conflict within all of us that says, but aren't I supposed to do something? You know, aren't I supposed to change something? And yes, we are. And no, we don't always are able to do it. So that is this Sunday's talk. And I'm glad that you're all here. And glad you're here.